Praise the Lord that we could be here and in Ottawa. We are visiting our children here, and then also to speak to people, friends, and what we do and how the Lord is faithful, what He's doing in India, in Nepal, and Dubai. And we'll talk less about Dubai because our heart and mind is always away from Dubai. Yeah, I'll just keep the time so that I don't go on and on. I'll just tell a few things about from the Word of God. I'll explain a few things, and towards the end, I'll talk about the experience that we have in Delhi, in GB Road. So that I'll talk about it. I just want to bring the introduction. My introduction is always longer than the actual message. So you won't know when I move from introduction to the message. Just to make it fundamentally clear that what exactly I'm talking about, outside you can see a table with some photographs badly taken and not so good to see. There's no quality in that, but they are self-speaking pictures. If you get a time, just go through that. And there are some leaflets you can freely take from there. The title of that exhibition is Other Side of the Wall. So this morning I'll be speaking. My subject or my whatever I'm coming to is to talk about the other side of the wall. There are some people who live on the other side. So I'm going to talk about Lord Jesus, what He did, why He came, to who are the people He went to, where did He go, what He tells us to do. So that's one side of the story, that is the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, when He came here, He did not bring a religion. We have a problem in India where everything is religion. And today morning they attacked one church where we go to in North India, which is the Himalayan plains. And the 500 people attacked a group of Christians. And I got the pictures and the news. Why is that? It's because that people think that Jesus brought a religion into the world, and that religion is competing with Hinduism and Islam and all those religions, and so they object to it. But actually, Lord Jesus never brought a religion. In Matthew, we read it, He came here and He talked about repentance and He brought the kingdom of God. Something, kingdom of God, is very important for us to know what it is. I travel a lot, I walk around, and what do I see? When I see people, I see something very clear. I think whether you note it or not, when I look at people, I feel that there's a great difference in them and me. I feel it very, very clearly. I see that they are people who are hopelessly walking around. They have education, they have land, they have farms, they have businesses, they are scientists, they are great things they are doing, they have bank balances, but I find that they are lacking something, and it's too great, something very spectacular thing that they are lacking, and they do not have hope. They don't have hope. All they can talk about their billions, or all they can talk about their greatness, but it's only limited to a certain time. They have nothing beyond that. And Lord Jesus, what did He did? He brought the kingdom of God. Every time we talk about the kingdom of God is a good news, He brought good news, true. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, 16, 17, when we see, He came in this world of chaos and trouble and darkness, It is written that those people who lived in darkness and in the shadow of death, they see light. Why is that? Did he not go to Jerusalem, to the greatest temple of that time? Why he did not go there? It looks like he went to the other side of the wall where people were not willing to go. People who were totally lost and they were looking for help, and he goes there. John 1:17 says, law came through Moses and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That one verse is actually the full Bible if you are careful. John 1:17, first sentence is the Old Testament. Law came through Moses. And the second part of it is the New Testament. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace is different from mercy, which everybody knows mercy, but the term grace arrived with Lord Jesus Christ. What is that? It's a very generic term, but grace is something, a help in time of need, according to Hebrews chapter 4. Mercy is, one of our friends had given an example, a difference between mercy and grace. A man is falling down from a mountain. He calls for help. Help, help. No one comes. He falls down. He breaks his legs and they take him in an ambulance. He's in the hospital for 1 month, recovers. That's called mercy. Grace is that a man is falling from the mountain. He screams and shouts, help. And there comes a hand, lifts him before he falls. That's called grace. That's what Jesus has got. Before we fall. That's why he says grace and truth came through Jesus. Moses brought the law. There was no mercy. There was no forgiveness. So we see Jesus. The kingdom of God has a good news. What's the good news? I'm saved. Maybe we think like, I have been saved now. I'm going to heaven. It's more than that. It's for the world. Kingdom of God is near you. That's the message. Kingdom of God is among you, within you. Why is that telling? It's so near that you can just enter into it. It's not far from you. Don't think that you have to do so many things. You have to give money. You have to do pilgrimages. That's what in our country they talk about. They send us to the mountains. They send us to the rivers. They ask us to sit, sleep on the thorns and do all kinds of things. But he says the kingdom of God is near you. You can enter it. What's the good news about it? Good news is in the kingdom there is love, there is forgiveness, there is peace, there is joy. All these things are part of the kingdom. That's the good news. Good news is not my self-achievement, but good news is living in a community where we love one another. John chapter 13. Verse 34, I think that's the verse, where he says, a new commandment I give you. Jesus was giving a new commandment. Was it needed? We had all the commandments. A new commandment was not the 11th commandment, because it was not for individuals. It was for between two people, between a group of people. Love one another. So to love one another, that law can only be practiced when there are two people plus more. Isn't it? So that's the love. That's the good news of the kingdom of God, that it's a community who experience the love of God and they love one another. They are visible to the world, not a secret society. So, anyway, I'll come back to this again, but let me talk about the kingdom of this world or kingdom of Satan. Let's call it kingdom of Satan or kingdom of this world. What is there outside of the kingdom of God? What do you see? If you are in the kingdom of God, what do you see outside? So let me go back to the modern world. I will come just to bring to you that there is two directions that we are going to. Why I'm talking about the other side of the wall. That's where I will come to. You know Satan's fall, what was the problem? Lucifer. He said, I will be equal to God. I will raise my throne up. I'll sit there. That was his direction of Satan, is always upward. He always moves upward. He has to go up. The direction of Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians chapter 2, it's always he descends down. He walks, he steps down, lower and lower. That's the direction. That's where he was going. Lord Jesus spent his ministry was for more than 3 years, around 2.5 years he was in Galilee. The northern part, where the people were poor, where the people did not speak good language, their grammar was bad, there were mixed people, there were all kinds of foreigners, poverty and violence, persecution. He lived there. He walked with people. He talked with people. And whenever he came to Judea and Jerusalem, the religious people harassed him, and he would not be allowed to talk. He always liked to move to the other side of the wall. What did he do? I repeat many things, so if you forgive me if you were there before. How did he work? How did Lord Jesus work? He walked. He went to people. He could have come to Jerusalem and based himself in the temple, and people would come and visit him and worship him, get healed, get everything. He did not do that. He walked. He went out meeting people. Before meeting people, he took the baptism. Did he need to do that? John was right. He said, you don't have to do it. But he said, let it happen, because I want to be an example. What external example? That I have emptied my will. When I became a man, I have already human. I have died. I do not have my will. That's why Jesus went to the forests and the jungles and the mountains and spent the whole night there. Why? What was he looking for? By the words of his mouth, he created the universe. And he's asking for help. Phil was reading that verse which says, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where he says, in weakness he was crucified, but with the power of God he lives on. What is the weakness of Jesus? There was weakness of Jesus. The weakness of Lord Jesus was that he was a dependent person. A weakness of a child is he cannot do things on his own. He has to depend on his parents to walk. That was the weakness of Lord Jesus Christ. He was weak because he could not do his will. You know, this will is a great issue here. And so I just come back again to this Satan. Here in the Garden of Eden, we find that there is a tree which is called the tree of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil, yeah. Beautiful name. Who doesn't want to eat the fruit? I want knowledge. I want to eat it of that so that I will have a knowledge of good and evil. And Satan comes and says to Adam, and he says, it looks like you are a lesser man. You are good enough man, but you are not, you are a lesser man. Why? Because you are not empowered to exercise your will. If you eat of this fruit, if you eat of this, then what will happen is that you will become independent. You will know what is good and what is evil. You will be independent of God. You will be empowered to exercise your will. And so that's better. They ate of the fruit. And they realized that, yes, they are empowered. You know, there is a weapon with which you can fight God, the Almighty God. Do you know about it? There is a weapon where you can stand in front of God and he will say something, he will take his weapon and you take his weapon. There is a weapon. That's your empowered will. He comes and says something, you say back, tell back to him and say, no, this is what should be there. It's amazing, isn't it? What a power that fruit has. Knowledge of good and evil. That's what he did. And they got empowered. So let me go fast forward. Genesis chapter 3, then Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, what happens? Here is a group of people who have come out of the boat from Noah's death and all that. They have prospered. They have walked towards the east, towards India. Holy people live there. But they didn't come that far. They went up to the Shinar Valley, which was a valley near the Middle East, Persia and Babylon and all that. They went there, and you know what is written in, I think, 4th verse of 11th chapter of Genesis? They said, hey, let us build a city. Let us make a tower. Goes up to heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Independence from God. Let us make a city. We are everything. We don't want to be scattered. We'll make a name for ourselves. We'll make a tower which reaches the heaven. What is the heaven? In Dubai, we have the highest tower. As you know, it is 800 meters. Were they planning to make 900 meters? No. That means that they were going to take in collaboration with the evil forces of darkness in the sky, and they will collaborate, and they are going to fight with the God who sits in heaven and rebel against him and say that, leave us alone. That's the Tower of Babel. And we will make a name for ourselves. God was looking at it. He came there, and there he confused them. You know, confusion, that was called Babel. Babel means confusion. So the result of self-will is confusion. That's what it ends with. That's what I'm telling. Fast forward again. You know, the man, Charles Darwin, evolution, what did he do? Survival of the fittest. That means he was telling, hey, the things that are species which are weak, they die. Species, they die. But those which are good, strong, they come up. And they have come like that, they'll come up. Where is God? There is no God. Self-will, protection, prevention, environment, this and that, and the best suited will survive. It's still there. Everybody is talking about it. Little bit further down. 1844, there was a man born in Germany, a great philosopher and writer and all those things. You know him very well. His name was Nietzsche. My pronunciation is done. I know how the Germans pronounce, I pronounce it, and probably this is right. Nietzsche was a man. He was born in 1844. He died, I think, in 1900s. And he coined the sentence. He said, God has died. God is dead. We killed him. And he's not going to come back again. The good news of Satan, the gospel of Satan, is what Nietzsche said. He said that's done, because he said when Jesus came with the kingdom of God and we killed him and he died and he's not going to come back again. And he said the moral absolutes are not needed at all. We need the power of will. In German he said, he said sort of a Superman we need. If we have the will, if we are free to do things, if are not bound by these moral laws and by this teachings of Jesus Christ, which always takes us to the other side of the wall, to the poor, to the naked, to the captives, to the hungry, to the downtrodden, we will do better. Let's go forward, up and up. Going up and up, the last 10 years of his life, he was mentally ill. He died in a desperate situation. He wrote few books. One of his books was called Good and Evil. Imagine, where's the line coming? Good and Evil. He sold, I think, 5 copies. I always say it's not the 5 million copies that he sold. Even 5 copies or 10 copies, Satan can use it. And that became the foundations of worldview of the Western world. that you should be independent. No one should talk about me. My views are my views. I am independent. You cannot overtake me. That's the way the people think in the Western world, that freedom means freedom of will. Human rights is good enough, but what about the freedom of will? That's how it comes. This is the man who was the first very prominent atheist, and he brought this theory that God is dead, Christians are weak, and they are destroying the world. The Superman is not coming. Fast forward, Adolf Hitler. What did Adolf Hitler do? There is a picture of Adolf Hitler by the bust of Nietzsche. He's standing, and there is a picture of him. He said, "This is the right man, German." He said, "He says right. There has to be a superhuman, the Aryan race, which should be able to do things, manage things, and there are people who are all lesser humans. They should be subject to the higher race, and they can. Some can live, some can die." And he killed 200,000 mentally ill people and weak people. Why? The knowledge of good and evil. We will make a name for ourselves. We will fight. We will fight with one who lives above. He is trying to take us our freedom away. That's the whole fundamental. Where I'm coming to is, I have, in the beginning I said, there is two directions. There is a direction which is going up, and there is a direction which is going down. So far I have told you about the direction that is going up, and how it is in the worldview today, how it is in the thinking of human beings, that hey, we have to go up at any cost. The rule of the fittest is what Adolf Hitler was talking about, and the people are talking about independence from God. There is a way that we can make it, we will do it. But Jesus comes to the weakest, the lost, the helpless, the hopeless, the sick, and unwanted people. Is there a difference? That's what we see, isn't it? There is a difference. Here comes a man, the Son of God, and his direction is just the opposite of what the world is moving towards. There is a danger that Christians can go in the same direction. Because if we are not following the Lord, if we are not in the kingdom of God, if we do not know the principles of the kingdom of God, we might well be sitting in the churches, but at the same time, our direction could be that of the kingdom of this world. When I say on the other side of the wall, now you know, what about Christ? What about Jesus? Did he meet people like that? I'm coming to our small experience later. But what I want to tell you is that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, the word of God, it is written, "You shall receive the Holy Spirit and you'll be empowered and you will become my disciples, my witnesses." There is a transformation with the incoming of the Holy Spirit. It's like a caterpillar which decides to reside on a green leaf, eats the green leaf, does not see the green leaf anything, has no way to walk, but it is converted green and it is lying there and it is worthless and looks ugly. And one fine day the transformation takes place and no more green leaves. The butterfly, he wants to eat, drink only nectar. He has colorful wings. He is not willing to stick to the leaf. He has legs flying around and has big eyes to see. That's called transformation. Lord Jesus Christ promises a transformation like that. You shall become my witnesses once you have the Holy Spirit. So what's the difference between a Christian and anybody in the world? Or any other Christian you think. A Christian's basic fundamental character is, he is a witness. If you are coming to Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you come here and you are unable to witness about your life or the life of Lord or the salvation to anybody, well, I don't know what you will call yourself. I do not see a Christian in the Bible who has that category. It's very clear if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the result is transformation. You become a butterfly. You become a witness of Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Now let me say, tell you about Lord Jesus. Who did he meet? What about Luke chapter 4:18, the manifesto of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, I have come to give good news of the poor. Good news, as I said, the kingdom of God. The Beatitudes talks about 8 groups of people who are blessed, 8 group of worthless people, 8 groups of nobodies. He calls them blessed. He comes there, and Luke 4:18 is the manifesto of Lord Jesus, where he says, I have come to give good news to the poor, eyes to the blind, to set the captives free, and to lift the oppressed, those who are crushed and oppressed, to lift them up. He says that. He said that. But did he do it? We have to find that. Statement has to match with his words. In Matthew again we see, what did he say? I was homeless. I was naked. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was sick. I was in prison. Was he? I never saw Lord Jesus in prison. You can say he was in the prison for a few hours in the Pilate's prison, maybe. Was he sick? Was he naked? That shows that he 100% identified with those people. That's why he's telling that I was there. You were looking to him in the mall, shopping malls. You were looking for him in the markets. You were looking for him in the universities. But he says, I was in prison. I was naked. I was homeless. I was hungry. This is the other side of the wall. Places where we don't like to go. The mental walls that we have, that we choose to go where we want to go. We choose to select. We are very selective. It's just like food. A lot of food is on your table, maybe 20 types. You will not take the most bitter item on the table. You'll select everything that's good. You leave those which you don't want. Same is the case. In our mental wall, we tend to keep ourselves on this side of the wall. Brothers and sisters, if we have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be different. I just want to explain to you again your testimony. What is your witness? Who are you? I can tell you. I can tell you in one verse, the substance of a follower of Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 9 verse 23, a crowd was following Lord Jesus Christ and he turns to them. And he says, if anyone wants to follow me. Were they not following? Everybody was following. Hundreds of people were following. But he says, if anyone wants to follow me, he has to deny himself. He has to take up the cross every day. And then he has to follow me. So let's break this sentence, that verse, into 3 parts to make it easy. In this sentence, there is one no, there is one yes, and one do. It's easy. English. Deny. Second. Take up. Third. Follow. What you have to, first thing is, say no. Deny self. Anything that is self, anything that self-will has to be denied. Even my bright ideas, which I confuse often with the will of God, has to be checked out with him on our knees and say that, Lord, is it your will? Remove it. The clever ideas in our committees, in our management meetings that comes up and we say, hey, let's pray about it and say, action. No. The will of God is different. Self-will has to be denied. Everything that connects with the will, the desires, the love of the world, the money, the fame, and everything has to be denied. In John chapter 5, verse 41, Jesus says, I do not seek the honor of men. One sentence verse. It speaks volumes, isn't it? You can speak for hours and check it out. I do not seek the honor of men. Everything that is esteemed high in the world for which you are supposed to get a Nobel Prize, he says, I do not seek anything. Woe unto you if people say, glorify you. So we deny, say no to that. But we have to say yes to something. A cross to be taken up daily. What is that? A cross is a willingness to suffer to live the life of Jesus Christ. A cross that is willing to take us through a narrow road from where we can fall, we can be hit, we can be persecuted, we can be rejected, but we carry that because we have to follow Him. Taking up the cross is to be willing to suffer in this world. And third thing is, he says, do. What we have to do? We have to read, we have to sit in front of the computer and do Bible studies, sing songs. This is dynamic. We have to get out and follow somebody. He says, follow me. Where is he going to? The other side of the wall, where we don't want to go. When he was on this earth, he went and met the Pharisees. He went to the Samaritan woman. He ate with them. He went to the lepers. He touched them. He went to the Gadarenes, the people who did not know anything. He went to the women. He talked to the women caught in adultery. He spoke to people. He went to all the people who were not in the mainstream of the society. You would not like to talk. If I was near the Samaritan woman, if I was sitting on the well outside the village, I would, when I see the woman coming to fetch water, I would get up and slowly walk away. Because I'm Shishya Thompson. There is a possibility that my reputation can be damaged, and then next time when I come here, you will not invite me to speak here. But he did not have to lose his reputation. He lost his reputation when he came. He gave up his authority, his rights to justice. He gave us his rights to any will. And he was willing to sit there and talk to her and go to her village, live in their house. Emptying of the will is important. When you go to the other side of the wall, you have to give up so many things. The walls that you are, you can say, hey, I'm in Ottawa and there is no wall here. Where is the Samaritan woman? What do you want to see there? These walls are right in our mind. These walls is about that fellow who is from Afghan, Kabul, Taliban. He's going to kill us. He's got a gun. He will come after him. He's another religion, another sect, another denomination, another language, another... my enemy, the country, maybe he's from Pakistan or Afghanistan, I don't know. There are so many things I can talk to this one, but I cannot talk to this one. Other side of the wall, we have to go. Stop here. What did we do? The pandemic was coming and there was a lot of problems were there. You know, everybody, I was in Dubai, my wife was in Dubai. And I was in Nepal, I came back in March, then for a few months I was in Dubai, not able to go to India, and I was trying to go. I said, I have to get this book done, I have to do this, I have to do that. But you know, everybody was saying, don't go, including Aizu, who is sitting here, said, don't go. So we were not going, and I had no definite reason. I was not finding any valid reason to travel. So I said, hey, we can give some food to the poor. Then we saw some Christians are giving the poor. We can give some clothes, we can give some equipment, some are giving. We can help the Christians, some are giving. Then we knelt down and said, Lord, can you show us somebody in Delhi who is in need, who is eligible for us to travel and help, who is helpless? And so doing some research, we found a group of people who were weeping, who were crying, who were interviewing, and he said, we don't have enough to eat, we cannot go anywhere, nobody is coming to us. And we saw these interviews and we said, Corona or no Corona, we go. Who are these people? The red light area of Delhi. It's called GB Road. Very infamous road, very dangerous road, with organized crime, trafficking, and notorious there. Nobody wants to, in Delhi wants to go to that. Nobody wants to be identified that they live close to that. And it's danger after 6 p.m. Should we go? How will we go? Brothels? How will I enter there? What will do? Anyway, first thing, we are going. We booked our tickets. We took all those tests and all. We reached Delhi. The Delhi, the next day, in 2 days' time, we went to, me and Sabita, we went to GB Road. The rush was so much on the streets, we had to abandon our vehicle and take another vehicle and go. When we reached there, we found so many women in a dilapidated school. They were sitting there, some were crying. We said, what happened? They said, there was a fire and 3 brothels are burnt down. We lost everything. I didn't know what they lost. The brothels got burnt down and there were so many children. Well, we gave them some money for the children to help them, women. We prayed and we came back. There was no news in the TV or the newspapers about this burning issue of the brothels. I just wondered why it is. Because for Delhi, these people do not exist. They don't want to deal with those people, brothels. Let it burn. They die. What can I do? They are prostitutes. Let them die. They live on the other side of the wall. We are okay this side. We are all right. They burnt. Who wants to read about that? So I didn't find any newspaper cutting. Next day we started working. We talked to people, any NGO Christian working there, nobody's working. There was some NGO who was in between doing something. We said, you can help? Yeah. So we said, okay, we'll go. We went forward our planning, but they knew that when we are Christian, we'll give the New Testament to everybody. They refused. We said, we have to give the New Testament. I wrote a Hindi book, Mon Nari, that was called The Silent Woman. I made it during that time. I wrote a book so that every woman gets it. By the time, nobody was willing to come. There were some Christians who said, we will come. But the last moment they said, take us anywhere else. But we cannot come to GB Road. And it was so frustrating. In fact, I think I wept that day. And I said that maybe I've done something on my excitement and I am helpless. There are truckloads of things for hundreds of women there. And what will I do? How will I carry it up and all that? But anyway, 4 or 5 of us were there. And we went there. And you know the miracle. The Lord sent the volunteers from the brothels. People came down from the brothels and they carried things and distributed. I also went there. I started speaking like this inside the brothel, giving a message of the kingdom of God, the love of Lord Jesus Christ. I prayed for every woman came to me. I laid my hands on them and prayed that Jesus is able to help you. And they gave me tea and all that. And all this happened. We happily came back. We thought we will change GB Road, but actually GB Road changed us. We got transformed. We came to know that this other side of the wall is somewhere where probably we have all to go and I have to tell people. So we also got a street church movement. In North India, we are talking about street church. Get to the bus stand, talk to people in the railway station, outside, in the field. Meet there and talk to people. Meet if 2 believers are there, worship there, talk about. That's the street church movement we are promoting. But another thing happened. We were telling, we just don't want to do an event. Come and go. So what did we do? We were praying, Lord, provide us a place in this street so that we will be present there. We want to kneel down in the street and pray. So to tell you, we have, from the beginning of the year, this year, we have a room there, which is a prayer room and a library. We have books there. So God has helped us. We had a car. We sold it at that time because we needed money. For us, it was not important. Nothing of this world we should own, but we should be willing to sacrifice ourselves. The path to witnessing goes to sacrifice. That we have to remember. From your wealth, if you give out something, it's not good enough. That's social service. You need to be consumed with that. About John the Baptist, Jesus said, he was a light that burnt. That burnt. In Hindi it is called that he got burnt himself and also he lighted. That means when you do something for Christ, you yourself get consumed. Always remember, cross is that. Without the cross, I can run on a Mercedes and say that I'm serving the Lord and so many things can happen. But in some way, our time, our energy, our name, everything need to work together with us. And so what we happened? After that, more happened. I was writing so many of my notes and things and all that, and it turned out to be a book. The Nameless Women of GB Road. So I 100 page, less than 100 page, I made the book and manuscript. I wrote to some people that, would you like to publish it? You want to see it? Many people thought, oh, we don't want to see it. I have written a few books in Hindi, so, and they are translated in a few languages. But they thought, I am an Indian Hindi writer, how can I write an English book or so? So, but to make this, then we got interest from New York, Austin McCauley, a publisher. They said that they would like to see the book. So I sent them the manuscript. They say it usually takes 6 weeks for our editors to go through that. They took 8 weeks. And after that, they gave a long one-page sentence and said, this book has the power to transform people, and change societies. And they are publishing. I signed a contract with them, and in a few months they should come in the market. The book is 3 chapters or 4 chapters of GB Road experience, which is not great. It's a simple thing. It's basically more about the thinking, the experience of what we can do, if possible. And the rest of the chapters, 8 chapters, I have exposed the life of Jesus Christ. From the New Testament, from the Gospels, I have brought it forth beautifully, I think beautifully, so that everybody can see that how wonderful the kingdom of God is and how spectacular is the life of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. Thank you that you are so great, you are so wonderful. Only if we can see you more. Thank you for this church. Bless them, each one. Thank you for helping some of them to be partners with us in our work in India and Nepal. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that we will work more together. And Lord, we will reach out to those who live on the other side of the wall. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.